This next clip comes to you from Regionally Speaking with Chris Nolte.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Coming up in September and into the rest of the months following, Purdue University Northwest is going to be offering through its faculty members an interesting series of lecture discussions, which are entitled Race, Racism, Anti-Racism. And in general, because of our issues here, not only in Northwest Indiana, but around the nation and the world, this is a very appropriate topic. Faculty members from the College of Humanities, Education, and Social Sciences are going to be involved in this. It's a way to learn more about activists who are basically risking their lives for the sake of social justice. The series of discussions will begin on September 3rd, and you'll be able to see it. It'll be available by Zoom or Facebook Live, as you choose to be able to join in. It's a free series of events. It's virtual, open to the public. And the first one, as we mentioned, is going to begin on Thursday, September 3rd, and it'll be The Return of Black-Led Grassroots Politics. And Glenn Ford, the executive director of Black Agenda Report, is going to be doing that. And our guest today is going to be doing the one following that. It's called Race and Wrongful Convictions. And Professor Nikki Jackson, who is a professor of criminal justice, is going to be joining Roosevelt Glenn, who is an exoneree, on this topic. And by the way, the conversation is going to be in the Zoom on Tuesday, October 6th, as part of the series. And Dr. Jackson, thank you for joining us here today on Regionally Speaking.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your interest, which is very deep, in the subject of wrongful conviction.
About 4.5 years ago, I read an article in the newspaper about a gentleman who had been wrongfully convicted for 24 years for crimes that he had not been committed. And I had to meet this gentleman, so I reached out to the reporter, and who then connected me to his attorney, and I met with Mr. Donald and sat down with him, I think a day or two after, and heard of what his journey has been like and how he lost 24 years of his life for crimes that he never committed. The guy had never even had a speeding ticket, to the best of my knowledge. So I had made some promises to Mr. Donald that I was going to be his voice and help make some change. And it was at that point that I started doing some research and recognizing that so many African-American males have been wrongfully convicted. And I also learned that most of our wrongful convictions in the state of Indiana had come from Lake County. And that was really bothersome as a professor at Purdue Northwest, which is housed in Lake County, mm-hmm. and wanted to better understand what was taking place. So I started this journey, and it's a very long journey, but made some changes, and one of the changes that I wanted to see was a compensation bill for folks who had been wrongfully convicted in the state of Indiana. And thankfully, got some senators to listen and state reps, and we now have a bill in the state of Indiana which will offer compensation to exonerees. The bill is not perfect, and we're still in works with some modification requests, but we'll see how that goes. So that's really how I started this journey, and I've learned a great deal about wrongful convictions. I have spent the past 2 to 3 months now interviewing exonerees throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I've interviewed about 40 or 50 exonerees, male, female, Hispanic, African-American, white, and just learning more about their ordeals.
Have you found that being an advisory board member at both the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City and also at the Westville Correctional Center has not only helped keep you up to date with what is happening, but has helped offer the help that you may need in talking with people to get them to talk about what their issues are?
Well, it's interesting. As an advisory board member through the Indiana State Prison and Westville Correctional Center, I have other advisory board members that I have reached out to for guidance and assistance. Mm-hmm. And I've been very grateful that these folks have been able to answer my questions. In fact, I remember asking the former superintendent of Westville Correctional Center if he knew one of the exonerees, and he said he did not. And I said, well, he was, you know, under your charge. And he said, that's a good thing that I didn't know who he was. That means he was never in trouble. So that was an interesting, you know, comment. But I have, you know, I have definitely taken my experience as an advisory board and really restructured my thoughts and my approach as an advisory board member at the prison that, you know, than when I had started many years ago.
When you and Mr. Glenn come on mm-hmm. for the conversation on October 6th, is there anything in particular, besides what you've kind of mentioned with us here as we talk, but that you'd like to bring forth to the people that are participants as well as those who are watching and listening at the time?
Mr. Glenn's ordeal is very important for folks to understand how race has played a major factor in those who've been wrongfully convicted. We know that minorities, particularly African Americans, are much more likely to be wrongfully convicted. I think about this. The National Registry of Exoneration shows that we have about 1,900 exonerees in this country. 47% are African American. And think about that, 47%, and 13% of our U.S. population are African Americans. So you can see how disproportionate these numbers are, right? These mm-hmm. percentages are. We have way too many minorities sitting in prison, particularly African Americans, and we're finding that many of those who are incarcerated are there really unlawfully. They didn't commit crimes. I am on the board at the Caring Place, which is a domestic violence shelter located in Valparaiso. And my background really has been domestic violence. And what I've found is that there is a very strong connection between domestic violence and wrongful convictions. So it's very interesting that my research has brought me to a different area of research, but they are both connected. I found that many of these folks who've been wrongfully convicted have been products of homes where domestic violence occurred. And for females who've been wrongfully convicted, the majority of them, actually everyone that I've interviewed thus far, have been they have been wrongfully convicted based on some type of an intimate crime, and later learned that no crime even existed. No crime even existed. And so these women have spent many, many years in prison for crimes that weren't even crimes. One of the things that Mr. Glenn and I are hoping, to convey to those who are attending is how being black had impacted Mr. Glenn and his experience with the criminal justice system. I want people to understand that African Americans are much more likely to be wrongfully convicted for crimes, particularly murder, sexual assault, and drug crimes. In fact, innocent black people are 7 times more likely to be convicted of murder than white people. So those are innocent black people. And there's a host of reasons for that, but one of the factors that plays a role in why innocent black people are convicted of murder more so than white people is due to unconscious bias and due to explicit racism. Crime that we see high rates of folks who are wrongfully convicted, particularly African Americans, is sexual assault. Blacks are 3.5 times more likely to be exonerated for sexual assault. And what leads to these African Americans who were innocent being wrongfully convicted in sexual assault cases is mistaken identification. Unfortunately, victims wrongly identify the perpetrator. And then the third type of crime where we see high rates of wrongful conviction by race is we see blacks are much more likely to be convicted. In fact, they're 12 times more likely to be wrongfully convicted for drug crimes. Yet blacks and whites, studies have shown that blacks and whites can use drugs at similar rates, but blacks are 5 times more likely to go to prison. And the reason we see more blacks going to prison for drug crimes than whites, even though they're committing them at the same rate, is that police are more likely to arrest African Americans than whites. Moreover, they're more likely to patrol areas where African Americans reside compared to whites. So we have to make some changes. There has to be some reform. And one of the things that Mr. Glenn and I will be talking about are some of the concerns that we have about the criminal justice system and its biases. We know that in Chicago, there was a commander, Detective Burge, John Burge, who in the early 90s, late 80s, I believe it was late 80s, mm-hmm. was torturing young African-American males into false confessions. He was forcing them to confess to crimes that they did not commit. And this was, you know, this was happening, and people were not speaking up. And I think it's time for change. It's time for change, and we need some reform. And we want to make sure that the right people are in prison for who've committed these crimes and not the wrong people. And these African-American males and females who have been wrongfully convicted have spent many, many decades in prison while the real perpetrator has been out on the street. Mistaken identification is the leading factor in sexual assault cases among African-American males. So we have victims who mistakenly identify the perpetrator, because, you know, based on dark skin, whatever type of hair, but they typically mistakenly identify African-American males. And we found that's a huge problem. It's a huge problem among sexual assault victims. They are wrongly identifying their perpetrators, particularly in cases where the perpetrator has been African-American.
Well, Dr. Jackson, thank you for what you tell us now. And we're looking forward to your presentation working alongside Roosevelt Glenn, the exoneree, on the topic that you're going to bring up with the conversation series October 6th. And it's entitled Race and Wrongful Convictions. And I'm sure that it will fit in nicely with the rest of the series that begins on September 3rd that you and your colleagues with Purdue University Northwest will be able to offer to anybody that views it on Zoom. And thank you for speaking with us today about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Professor Nikki Jackson is a professor of criminal justice at Purdue University Northwest. She's been involved in the issues of wrongful convictions, and that is why she is going to be one of the participants in the series that begins on September 3rd that you can see on Zoom as well as join on Facebook Live as well. The other people that are going to be participating from Purdue University Northwest include Professor Lee Arts. He's a professor of communication. He'll be on November 3rd talking about media framing and the politics of racism. And then the series will wrap up on November 30th with Professor Kim Skypes, who's a professor of sociology, on how to talk about race in the 21st century. This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
You can listen to Regionally Speaking Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.